Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the show where we count things down in the world of professional wrestling, right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Yeah, wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it, so you're always getting new Going In Raw content. We're also on fine podcast apps, including the iOS podcast app. If you really want to help the show, take a moment out, leave us a rating or review on the iOS podcast app or Stitcher, Podbean, I guess.
You leave Google Play.
Anywhere you leave us nice words, it'll be good for
that host podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. We're also on the Pro Wrestling Tees. I got my Slow Wolf shirt.
Not going to happen.
You can get these shirts at theprowrestlingtees.com/going.
There's several more.
Many, many more.
Many more.
Although I think it's too late to buy them for Christmas. They said that we cannot guarantee.
Ah.
If you buy it right now, we can't guarantee. But don't let that stop you from buying them because they're still quality shirts.
You can give the gift of a Going In Raw t-shirt any day of the year.
You don't have to be walking around shirtless. Now you can have a shirt on. It's great. Anyways, today on Going In Raw Countout,
yeah,
we're going to talk about wrestlers who the WWE, for whatever reason, don't really use that much.
No, Dolph Ziggler recently appeared on Edge and Christian's podcast and talked about his role in the company and how he felt underutilized. And,
right.
I think a lot of people have felt throughout Dolph's career,
mm-hmm.
he may not have always been used to his fullest potential.
Well, that can be said for a lot of people.
Yes.
In Dolph's case, it's extra sad because he had a couple of concussions, which halted some pretty big pushes that they were giving him. Right now, he said that he's very sad that he's not the guy, but he understands that's the way the business works.
Yep.
But, you know, he's in good company because there's plenty of wrestlers out there right now, who are being underutilized by the WWE. And
yes.
We're going to count down 10 of them.
10.
Number 10.
10.
Ty Dillinger. 10.
10.
10.
10. So Ty was enormously over in NXT. I thought he was on a clear path to become NXT champion.
He was a fan favorite.
He was a fan favorite. He got himself over
mm-hmm.
organically.
Real
naturally.
Underdog story.
Exactly. And that seemed to be the story they were telling with Ty in NXT, his inability to get past a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it could have been a really cool moment for him to finally reach the pinnacle NXT, culminating that story before moving on to the main roster.
Yeah.
But as we saw on SmackDown after WrestleMania, he made his debut, and he's wrestled intermittently at best.
Yeah.
Since then, he was involved in the U.S. title scene briefly with AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, but he was really just interjected into that feud to take a pin.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. We haven't really seen him much since then. He did make an appearance during a SmackDown Siege of Raw.
He was also in an episode of Fashion Files.
Yes.
I believe.
But,
yeah, and like some commercials.
But by and large, not a whole lot for Ty to do on SmackDown these days.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had the feeling when he got called up. So he made his main roster debut, I think, at the Rumble, right?
Yeah,
at the
yeah,
number
yeah,
10
yeah.
spot.
Yeah.
Because there was this big sort of groundswell of, you know, Twitter speculation that, oh, well, number 10, it has to be him because his 10 count, or his 10 thing.
10 chant was over, not just NXT, but it had crossed over into
main roster.
The larger WWE universe.
It made its main roster debut before he did.
Yeah.
And so I don't actually believe that they brought him up. I think there was an element of the 10 thing bringing him up, but I also think there was an element of NXT was about to get very, very crowded. And that super bringing in all that new talent superseded whatever story they might have told with him. Had things remained the same, which they never do in NXT,
no.
Ty would have gotten, I think, that story, would have gone on to get the title, perhaps. But this isn't 2013 and he's not Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And so that never happened with him. Instead, he came up, and I think it's not like his gimmick was anything so extraordinary that, and it's not like he was anything so extraordinary that they could, even the guy they call extraordinary at this point, Finn Balor, who the longest reigning NXT champion ever, all the, you know, all the qualifieds and bona fides to be a out of this world superstar is a mid-carder.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
So that doesn't bode well for a guy like Ty Dillinger. Mike Kanellis, who made a very splashy debut on main roster.
Yeah.
Is nowhere to be. He didn't even make this list.
Yeah.
He's so underutilized, we forgot about him.
Yeah.
So a guy like Ty Dillinger, who had a fairly high profile stint towards the end of NXT or of his days in NXT, came up with all the hype because of the 10 chance, in the end, was grounded because his gimmick is kind of grounded. And he's a little, I think, on the too grounded side to be seen by the higher ups in WWE as a big, true superstar.
Might be some truth to that.
But he could do something
at
with
least,
him.
Yeah, do something. Have him on TV. Put him in a tag team with somebody.
Put him in a tag team with somebody, you know? They had him tagging with Sami Zayn, but I always kind of knew, oh, that's not going to last.
Sami Zayn. Yeah. But that was a great idea. No, they worked
it was,
well together.
Yeah, it was a fantastic idea. But you put him in Titus, ship him over to Raw, put him in Titus Worldwide. But then again, they're not really doing anything with him either.
No.
So anyways, Ty Dillinger, a fantastic hand. Maybe he is one of those guys, though, that if he simply sticks around, and he's been sticking around for a very long time. If he simply manages to stick around, have a good attitude, there's always the outside chance that something could hit for him. Because you can always go from like generic guy, if you've got the charisma, and I think he does.
Yeah, he does.
You can go from generic guy to cool underdog story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always the possibility for him to do that. So, you know, we wish all Ty all the luck in the world for the perfect 10.
Yes.
Number nine.
Nine.
I don't know why I stuttered on nine there.
I don't know.
Bo Dallas. Whoa. Talk about being born like or coming up 5 years too early.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, he was the man in NXT.
He was. Before that, he was the man in Florida Championship That's Wrestling, right. the yeah. precursor NXT. I think he had their championship four or five times.
Yeah, that's right.
He was on the main roster briefly a while back. He debuted during, I forgot what year of the Royal Rumble.
Like yeah.
2012.
Something like that, yeah.
Had a brief feud with Wade Barrett, who was Intercontinental Champion at the time.
He came in, they were talking, especially during the Rumble, I remember, they were talking him up so much, and they were really talking him up to be this big superstar. He came in during that time when they were doing gimmicks that were kind of like the Damian Sandow thing. Oh, I'm, you know, I'm this guy. So he came in with the Bo Leave thing.
That was his second.
Right, yeah, yeah. His first one was like really forgettable,
yeah.
though. And then he went back to NXT, yeah. right? So yeah. that might have been like, hey, let's test the waters a little bit. And then they repackaged him in NXT with the Bo Leave thing.
Yeah, the motivational speaker thing.
Right, and I think I wasn't really watching, and I haven't seen much of those. I'm not sure how over he was.
I read up a bit about it, and if I remember correctly, he was getting tons of heat.
All right. I'm not really sure how well that gimmick will like translates in terms of, because it was he's got obviously all the talent in the world, and we've been saying this for ages. Him join the damn Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Of course there is no more Wyatt family anymore.
But what better way to bring about a new version of the Wyatt family by having Bray Wyatt's actual brother join him to reform a new Wyatt family.
Why can't they be a tag team?
I know.
Well, that'd be great.
It's not like Bray's really doing much of anything. We'll Bray's get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely getting to that later. Anyways, so Bo Dallas, who came in with a pretty big push with the whole Bo Leave thing, but it was one of those pushes that you always kind of felt, they're not going to go that far.
He always felt like they were never really invested in it.
Yeah, but it's kind of, I mean, they gave him plenty of screen time. It's just the wins weren't there. The threat wasn't there. I almost liken it to Elias, but I think Elias is getting a bit more over with the guitar stuff.
I would compare it more to Emma when she came up the first time.
Oh, yeah.
There was a gimmick that worked really well in NXT.
Yeah.
She got brought up, and just her particular brand of comedy gimmick just didn't work in those large buildings, yeah. I think.
That sort of the Bo Leave thing, the Damian Sandow thing, even though I think Damian Sandow could have been...
He could have been money.
He could have been money. But the Bo Leave gimmick, I felt, always just felt like upper mid-card at best. Whereas the way he was handled in NXT was like future superstar, you know?
Yeah.
He has a great look about him. The people really want big things for Bo Dallas, even today, when, you know, him and Curtis Axel, another guy who could have been easily on this list, he could, you know, cohabitate this number nine spot or cohabit this nine spot with Bo Dallas. You know, people remember what Bo, and I think people really want him to be associated with Bray Wyatt. They like when the walls kind of, you know, crumble a little bit.
Yeah.
And kayfabe is brought down. So, but you know, I mean, terrific wrestler. It was sort of saddled with a gimmick that had mid-card written all over it.
He's good on the mic.
And he's great on the mic. He's fantastic on the mic. I liked during the time when he was with the, what are they called? The social...
Oh, Outcast?
Outcast,
yeah.
I like them, too. They were
cool. They had a good dynamic, the four of them.
Yeah. So, anyways, Bo Dallas. Very sad. Number eight.
Eight.
The Club. Man, all the hype around these guys coming in from New Japan and the surprise, whenever they do the ambush debut, it's always kind of, whoa, look at that. It's always very reminiscent of the NWO. Immediately a threat. Look at these guys. Gallows is huge. Anderson, we've always heard, one of the best wrestlers out there. They look so cool in New Japan. And then they got to that awkward thing where, how far can we go with calling them Bullet Club? Oh, we call them the Club. They're New Japan. They're cool, but we can't really say who they are or what they...
But I wonder how their fortunes would have differed had they stayed with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I think breaking up the Club as the faction really kind of sent them somewhat into a tailspin because they were still involved in the tag title scene shortly thereafter. I think it was SummerSlam after the brand split,
mm-hmm.
where they were in that feud with the New Day,
mm-hmm.
so they were still towards the top of the card. Heck, they entered WrestleMania this year as tag champions,
yeah.
But it never felt like they were the dominant.
I know
team.
You know,
and when they came over from New Japan, they were talking up their accolades over there. You know, multiple time tag champion, just dominating the tag division in New Japan, and they come to WWE, and yeah, they book them. You know, as a force for a little bit, their story with AJ was good,
mm-hmm.
but then they started doing this really bad comedy.
Oh, that was terrible
thing.
Yeah.
And then from there, yeah, they had a brief uptick when they won the tag titles and they dropped to WrestleMania to the Hardys.
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, Carl Anderson it seems like he's just getting paid to take pins.
Yeah, I know.
He eats a lot of pins.
I know.
And they haven't even been on TV in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And the funny thing is there's any number of routes they could go with them. They could reteam them with AJ Styles. They could be a wildly entertaining, you know, if they're like a tweener tag team and AJ remains a face the way he is. I mean, there's a lot of money that I think could be made there. They're packaged great still.
Yeah.
There's obviously really great chemistry between the two of them. There's any number of things they could do with the Club.
They're just not doing any of them.
It's just, you know, when they needed something to do with Sheamus and Cesaro and they teamed them up together, the Club kind of became redundant.
Well, there's a problem on Raw. You have Sheamus and Cesaro, the Club, and Revival.
Right, yeah.
Who all kind of occupy similar space in a tag division. So,
and when you have Sheamus, who's a former WWE champion and World Heavyweight Champion, you got Cesaro, who's a former...
U.S. champion.
U.S. champion, yeah. And he's Cesaro, like he's always been on the cusp of the main event. You know, you're going to put a heavier emphasis on them. It's like, look at what's happening with the tag division. That's why I think something like Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas will work so great. Because they're going back to, we have so many people and so few titles and things to do. You know, we got to put Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, two former, you know, relatively recent former WWE champions.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, exactly. We got to put these guys all together. Because we got Brock, you know, sitting around that at home with that Universal title, et cetera, et cetera. And so true tag teams like the Club just sort of get left. I mean, it's great that the Usos are doing what they're doing on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And, of course, the New Day. But over there on Raw, it's like they're just putting together a bunch of, like, really popular or really big-name singles guys together. So, the total bummer for the Club. They're pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, they are.
But, again...
Stick around long enough. Have a good attitude.
And they're one step away. They're either teaming with this next guy or teaming with AJ to create a faction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, you're back up on the main stage right there. Number
seven.
Finn Balor.
So, longest reigning NXT champion.
Mm-hmm. First Universal champion.
Yeah, immediately upon his debut, essentially, on main roster, won the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
The first Universal champion. Got hurt. During that match, was out of action for 8 months or so because of a shoulder injury.
Yep.
And he's flirted with the main event since then. they kind of inferred a feud at times against The Miz, but they never went through with it.
Yep.
They seem, if the dirt sheets are correct, they're kind of hemming and hawing about having him take on Brock Lesnar for the Universal title at the Rumble.
Right.
And so he's just caught in this kind of in-between stage where he's kind of in a feud with Kane, but not. He's in a feud with Kane to elevate Kane so Kane can lose to Braun. He was in kind of a mini feud with Joe, which he lost, but then they really touched upon since. He gets a great response from the crowd. He looks like the coolest dude in the world.
He just
exudes cool.
Yeah.
There's money to be made in Finn Balor, and it seemed like when he came up to Maine, they knew it, but he just happened to get hurt at the worst possible time, and whatever momentum he may have had ended.
Let me ask you something.
And they have yet to find a way to really kickstart that again.
We are now at the end of 2017.
Yeah.
How many minutes of screen time do you think the Demon has received during 2017?
Not a ton.
Not a ton, and yet his merchandise still sells off the hook, apparently.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is one of those cases where they feel, well, he's already the number two merchandise seller. People will love him kind of no matter what.
Just biding their time with him.
Or even
just resting on their laurels.
Until they're like, oh, some of the luster is starting to come off. Let's put a title on him. And I feel like the luster can hang for probably quite a while.
Well, it might be a situation where they're like, okay, he's already selling tons of merch.
He's doing what he needs to be doing. Yeah, Why are we going to bother putting the Universal title?
Just kind of rest on their laurels
and say,
okay, well, he's performing in-ring well, selling a lot of stuff. There's really no reason to put a title on him yet.
Even the Intercontinental Championship seems kind of beneath him.
I don't think it does. If Reigns is the champion now, it's certainly not beneath Finn Balor.
The Intercontinental Championship seems way beneath Roman Reigns.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's the heir apparent.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But when they had The Miz drop the belt, I'm really surprised they didn't have Finn take it off him.
If it was a hard-fought battle between Finn Balor and Roman Reigns and Finn Balor won the Intercontinental Championship, then absolutely I'd be like, oh my God, that title has been elevated because these two guys fought a gnarly battle for it and all that kind of stuff. I still get the feeling that Reigns is simply going to come up. He's going to win the Universal Championship and just dump the IC title in the garbage can, and he's going to vacate it, and they're going to have a tournament for it. It'd be so much better for that title if somebody beat him for it.
Yes.
But I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think we're going to get the sight of Roman Reigns being pinned anytime soon.
You never know. If it does happen, it's going to be...
You kind of think that's going to happen, don't you?
I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. I don't put it outside the realm of possibility, though.
What percentage do you give it? Him walking into Mania versus him dropping it before Mania?
I'd say it's about a 25% chance that he loses the belt between now and Mania. And there's two scenarios. Either he loses clean to Braun to set up a story post-Mania, or it's some sort of multi-person match where he's not the one getting pinned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only person I can see pinning Roman clean between now and Mania is Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah, I can see that. I wonder if there's any shenanigans that would lead to Joe getting it off before Mania. I could see that as a possibility, but I don't know. Even that, I don't see. I think that they're going to load up Joe. Did Roman, has Roman and Joe had a match? We're talking about Finn Balor, and we're talking about Samoa Joe. Has Roman and Joe had a singles match
that's
been Roman? Did Roman go over clean in that match?
He's gone over clean once, I believe.
Has he? Okay.
I think they
had a pay-per-view, though?
No.
Okay.
On Raw. I think both of them on Raw. I remember one match on Raw, one of Joe's earlier matches on Raw, he won. And then I think Roman has pinned him once since then. But then Joe said the other night that you know you can't beat me. So maybe I'm mistaken in that.
Yeah. There hasn't been like a high profile feud.
No, not a protracted feud, no.
So anyways, getting back to Finn Balor, I mean, is he underutilized? He's on TV almost every single week. He's getting a huge response. It's just baffling him. Our Twitter always blows up whenever he takes a loss against Kane or a loss against Joe. They do kind of seem to use him, the man Balor, as a stepping stone for monsters that they want to get over.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, obviously, of Joe and Kane.
Yeah, I'm hoping now that he's taken one loss from Kane and got beaten up by him a couple times, that after Strowman beats Kane, then he can get his win over Kane. And hopefully, if that happens, I would not be surprised if that's all in a lead-up to a match against Lesnar at Royal Rumble.
You know what would be so much fun is if Balor won the IC Championship in a tournament after
Mania.
Roman vacates it, after Mania, and then he's the guy who has to then suffer through the monsters. He takes on Joe and barely squeaks by in a blow-off. He takes on Braun.
Yeah.
That would be huge money,
yeah.
Finn Balor versus Braun.
Yeah.
So hopefully those are the plans they have for him, because I'm not sure how long resting on Finn Balor's laurels you can really go.
I know.
You know? Before people... I mean, we saw Bray Wyatt is completely irrelevant at this point. You know what I mean? Like, nobody has any reaction for him. You don't want that happening with Finn Balor.
No.
Number six.
Six.
Becky Lynch.
She was the inaugural SmackDown Women's Champion.
That was a smart move.
Yes. She dropped it to...
Was it Not Carmella. Natalia? No.
No. Was it Naomi? Was there someone...
Was it Alexa Bliss?
Yeah. Alexa Bliss. That's who it was. Yeah. Correct. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Alexa Bliss. And she really hasn't been in the title picture since. She is one of the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
And she is a very accomplished wrestler. We went back and watched that one NXT TakeOver where they all wrestle against each other. And she's just as good,
if
not better, technically, than any of the other three.
They used to let them do some amazing stuff.
She is a fantastic technical wrestler. She's been doing it for a long time.
I feel like she's the Finn Balor of the women's division. And there's a parallel there. They go back a ways. They have the same like natural charisma. They don't have to do much to look cool.
No.
Like, they don't have to do anything to look cool. She looks like a freaking superhero.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic wrestler. The people love her.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those things where I think they just... I don't want to say take it for granted, but it's like there's other people that we could use the title, like Naomi, for example, perfect example. And I think Naomi, a lot of people criticize this, but I actually think Naomi was a pretty decent champion.
Oh, I liked her reign a lot.
And I think she grew a lot as a champion while she was champion.
Yeah.
With Becky Lynch, she kind of, it's like she doesn't really need the belt
Mm-mm.
to get any more over.
No.
She's not really going to sell more. Like, she's just that person who's in a spot. But then they don't really ever give her any really juicy storylines. And that's the most infuriating part. It's not, should she have the title? Kind of the same thing with Finn. It's like, should he have the title? Maybe. But they don't really do, like, man, before the meningitis thing, Finn Balor was in this really elongated or prolonged Bray Wyatt thing. And then
terrible.
Pumpkin Balor was going to happen. And it was just, I don't know, man. It was just kind of weird and bizarre and not great.
Yeah,
And then with Becky Lynch, there has been nothing.
And I'm really looking forward to the time when they get her in Charlotte in some program, because I think that's going to be huge money.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree. I mean, I think even Charlotte, like, I really enjoy seeing their shenanigans on, like, Instagram and YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
And even on SmackDown, like, they'll allude to it and they'll have some fun on SmackDown. But... at some point, you need to have the best fighting the best.
Exactly.
Because that's...
with actual stakes involved.
With actual stakes involved. So, you know, you can spin your wheels, and Carmella, I'm sure, is going to cash in at some point and have her little run.
Mm-hmm.
Natalya, we've seen her run already. Who else is there on? So, I mean, now that Ruby Riott's up there, I'm not sure. I mean, her henchwomen aren't going to have anything, but Ruby might...
yeah, down the line.
...get a piece of that action. But at some point, man, we need to have... Becky Lynch and Charlotte fighting over that belt.
Yep.
And that'll really elevate the women's division in general.
Exactly.
I'd like to see that, what we saw with Charlotte and Sasha Banks, we could get with Charlotte and totally. Becky Lynch.
Totally.
We can get that.
Totally.
Number five.
Five.
British Strong Style.
You could really just say the entire United Kingdom division.
Yeah, but dude, these three, and especially Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate.
Trent Seven.
But Trent Seven is so good also.
Yes.
Man.
They're the standouts so far.
They are absolutely the standouts. Like, we got Mark Andrews, we got Wolfgang in there, a couple other guys. I mean, there's really the entire division is fantastic. What we saw in the UK tournament is fantastic. They have this belt, this title.
That's irregularly defended on NXT shows.
It looks... It's an immaculate looking title.
It's a gorgeous belt.
It's defended at Progress. Sometimes on random NXT takeovers, sometimes.
Occasionally on a TV taping for NXT, but not with any regularity.
There's no division there. He fought Gargano.
Yeah, so the belt kind of exists.
How's Gargano kind of in the division?
The belt exists in this kind of limbo. Is it a regional title?
Yeah.
Or is it effectively the NXT mid-card title?
Right, yeah, exactly.
We need some definition. I think once we get the definition of what this title is going to be, then they'll know how to proceed with all the wrestlers associated with that division. If this could be the NXT mid-card title, then bring Pete Dunne and Trent Seven and Tyler Bate and Mark Andrews and Jordan Devlin and Wolfgang to NXT. Have them on TV all the time because they're fantastic.
What I saw with the house show match that they televised for the first NXT post-takeover, this last takeover, was a Mustache Mountain team that could so add a lot to either Raw or SmackDown. Those guys don't need any more developmental time. They are ready right now, yesterday. And that's just Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. They can immediately add so much to your programming. And then Pete Dunne, when he showed up on that Raw to challenge Enzo, the crowd, obviously it's a UK crowd, but they went crazy for him. That kid has star written all over him. And I loved our scenario for
New Evolution.
The New Evolution, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Triple H, and Pete Dunne. And Pete Dunne was kind of the wild card that nobody can control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a great idea. Of course, it passes time now. But he is such, even in the absence of having like consistent screen time, he's always perfectly in character and understands who he is. And there's so much charisma in that beat up bruiserweight face of his. Mm-hmm. And he's a kid.
He's 24.
He's 24. Why? It's absolutely bizarre. And I mean, I think it's probably because they don't know
what they want to do yet.
What they want to do with the UK division. They don't know what they want to do with
mm-hmm.
it. So, it is one of those things where you just wish that they'd pull the damn trigger on something. Yes.
I know, on anything.
On anything at this point.
Yep.
You know, a quarterly King of the Ring tournament?
It's getting to be a year in January, I think.
A year. Man, they got to do something with those
guys. Yep, they really do. Because the fact they're not on WWE TV in some capacity, on some brand.
Yeah.
It's a waste because they're that good.
If Triple H or Vince called us, you know, like Steven Larson books Raw.
Yeah.
And Vince said, I don't know what to do with Mustache Mountain. Where do I put him?
SmackDown, Vince.
Put him on SmackDown.
Pete Dunne on Raw. Mustache Mountain on SmackDown.
Imagine Mustache Mountain and the Usos.
Oh, man.
Oh, it'd be so great. Mustache Mountain and the New Day. Be so great. People would fall in love with those guys, man.
Very quickly.
Telling you.
They're very good.
They are so good. Moving on. Number four. Nia Jax. Now, it kind of remains to be seen. She had that little moment with Enzo Amore, which we all dread, from this past Raw.
I vastly prefer your scenario where she is going to essentially ask him to be her manager.
Yeah.
Versus a romantic angle.
I really hope they don't do that. Like, it doesn't. They should be done with that, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
They don't really do that anymore, do they? That'd be terrible.
It would be bad. But here's the problem facing Nia Jax on Raw. Now that Asuka's there, Asuka's going to be the destructive
Asuka's
force.
Asuka's there.
Asuka's the destructive force on Raw now.
Yeah.
And Nia was filling that role for the most part, but they never really went to the next level with her and actually made her champion,
mm-hmm.
which on several occasions they easily could have.
Oh, yeah.
And probably should have.
Yeah, I know.
Because basically every multi-person match she was involved in, like at WrestleMania this past year,
yeah,
it literally took everybody else in that match to beat her.
I know.
She's her mic work's not the best, but everything else about her is great.
You know, I'd love to ask, like, you know, off the record, because I don't think anybody ever say this, like, on the record. But so when I watched that on SmackDown this past week, the women's segment where Sarah Logan ran through her lines, like, oh, my God. Not only is the writing terrible, but, you know, she's obviously not that polished on the mic.
Yeah.
But if you try to put yourself in a situation where the camera's right here, you're standing at an angle and, like, you know, Sasha's Daniel Bryan right here, right? And then everybody's talking, and then you're supposed to chime in. It's the most awkward
way. Well, chime in words that are not your own.
Yeah, it's the most awkward way to deliver a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, that's just not. I mean, Bray Wyatt is so lucky, like, moving on. I'm not going to move on yet. But talking about Bray Wyatt, he's so lucky that he gets like a mini, like a short film that he gets to deliver his promos from most of the time. I mean, even when he's in the middle of the ring, the lights come down, they have a spotlight on him, and you know he's got all the cool like lights
out there. Yeah, there's theatrics involved. It's something
you never
does.
See him backstage awkwardly standing next to somebody.
No,
and then he has to say somewhere. Just the most awkward way to do anything.
I know.
That's my worry about a guy like Aleister Black. They bring him up and he's going to be doing that. God, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
Never want to see that stuff.
No.
But anyways, Nia Jax kind of falls in that category because so often with the women's division, they have them all standing in a line and they all have to deliver their stupid lines next to each other.
Down the line.
Right, exactly.
Everybody has their point. Yeah.
It's a terrible way to like perform
anything.
And so if you have less of that and more of her just destroying stuff, I mean, it'd be great. There's enough people in the women's division right now, especially with call-ups, that you can have sort of parallel stories with Asuka doing her thing. Meanwhile, Nia Jax is running through people, and that can culminate at a Mania or at a SummerSlam or something like that.
Or a Rumble or something, yeah.
Exactly. And then you can maybe have give them a series where Nia, like shockingly, because Nia is one of the only people that realistically maybe could give one of those shocking, oddly squash finishes to Asuka, you know? And people be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully they do have something substantial for her with Enzo Amore now that she's on Total Divas. Maybe that'll help things because they like to push those people. Or that cast, I should say. So I don't know. We'll see. It is just kind of odd that you have this like super destroyer on your roster and she hasn't won the title. Like,
I know.
Somehow little Alexa Bliss still has that title on her.
I know.
So, wait, and then they never followed through with that
either.
Yeah,
they've always teased the title match with the two of them and it never happened.
Never actually happened.
Never happened.
Yeah. Number three.
Three.
Bray Wyatt, man.
Where to begin? I could start way back at WrestleMania 30 when he should have beat John Cena. If he had beaten John Cena at WrestleMania 30.
Yep.
A massive star been born, we said for a long time. Potential is there for Bray Wyatt to be massive, massive money for the WWE.
Could you imagine if they kicked off? Like, that could have even been a great story for Cena. Kick off a story where he has to go heel to beat him, like Bray was trying to get him to do.
Yeah.
And then have it last through SummerSlam where Cena finds redemption after.
There's so many different interesting avenues they could have taken with that whole story. And much like they did at WrestleMania this past year, they chose the most boring path possible.
Yeah. It was pretty hype when he got the title.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, until we started seeing where it was going and we realized, okay, we don't
saw,
want this.
We saw pretty early where it was going.
Yeah.
And every step along the way, we were like, man, how cool would it be next week if they blah, blah, blah.
What we did, we tried to convince ourselves week after week that they were going to do something interesting. When we both knew.
We knew deep down.
The result was going to be boring face Orton holding that belt in the WrestleMania. And that's exactly what we got.
I know.
Just more recently, this whole thing between Bray and Finn Balor. There's good stuff there that they can mine for an interesting feud, and they did none of it.
Yeah, I know.
None of it.
It's always whenever they just resort to Bray speaking like nonsense. Man, you people think that he's this, but he's really that. You don't know. You're lying to yourselves, man. Finn Balor is just a man, not a demon, but I'm a god, and he's not a god. I'm a god. It's all that nonsense. Like, why do you eat pin after pin after pin?
I know. Man? If you're a god, if you have satanic powers, why do you lose all the time?
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe I'm fooling myself. But I'm hoping maybe this thing with Matt Hardy. What did we see in the dirt sheets? That maybe McMahon has given Hardy some creative license. Maybe Bray Wyatt should be happy. Maybe he should be like, all right, Matt, what are we going to do, man? Oh, I've got your wonderful idea. Because I think even...
Let's have an incident. Here's the thing about Bray Wyatt. And you said this before. I think there's two things. Bray Wyatt, his character, offers an opportunity to add layers of character to whoever his opponent is.
Yeah.
And also, and you said this before, and I agree, that after you face Bray Wyatt, you should be different.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't do those things.
No, they don't. Like, if you want a new Undertaker, you could have had that with Bray Wyatt in that you could literally have, like, gimmick changes happen via Bray Wyatt. You know, you want somebody to go heel? Okay, have them step into, you know, the House of Horrors with Bray Wyatt and have them, you know, force them to commit acts they never would have committed before.
Yeah.
You know, then there you go. There's your heel turn. And then that can be a cool origin story for a heel version of a character.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find redemption somehow. There's a lot of different things you can do with Bray Wyatt because they've explored a bunch of different aspects of his personality from early on. He's a supernatural guy. He's got this weird sister. There's the compound. There's a lot that they've given him. It's just, they don't give him any wins. They gave him the WWE title, but he was oddly a transitional champion.
Yeah.
for Randy Orton.
I know.
And then who did Orton drop it to?
Jinder.
Oh. Well, I love Jinder, though.
Yeah. He's good.
he's so bad, he's good.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see. Look, man, this could be, again, this is optimistic, and it's probably stupid, but this could be a really outstanding feud, him and Matt Hardy, if they film this crap at the freaking burned-down Wyatt compound, at Hardy's compound, and all that stuff. I just, next week, are we going to get another, dueling promo?
They got to do some stuff on location.
They got to do some stuff, man.
They have to. Get Vanguard 1 out there.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Yep.
And if Matt Hardy, it does have some say, or absolute say, not absolute say, but largely has a say in the creative of his broken angle,
mm-hmm.
then I got to hope he's pushing for all that.
I would think that if, you know...
Especially because he fired up Vanguard 1's Twitter again.
Well, he would have to know that in order for the feud to be hot, Bray has to be hot.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how enthused Bray Wyatt is.
Yeah, based on that one promo, it didn't seem like he was terribly enthused.
I don't know. Some people on Twitter are one person. I
thought his laugh sounded genuine towards the end, but the beginning, you could tell there was nothing behind those eyes resembling anything close to passion.
I would love to see, some footage from right before they actually say action. He's probably like, what do you guys want me to say again? All right, here we go.
I know.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some defeated Bray footage out there.
Could be.
Yeah. Number two!
Two.
Shinsuke Nakamura! I never wanted to admit this, but I at this point, it's beyond admission. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. They've done messed him up.
Yep.
They messed up. There's. I think that there's...
What has been the low point so far? Was it the Lumberjack match?
Yes! It was a Lumberjack match. I mean, hey, he's part of the A story right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how involved. I think, hopefully, he's more than just a pawn of the A story, which it kind of looks like he is.
He seems like a B player in this A story.
I think he's a B player in this A story.
Which is a bummer, because I'll keep going back to this. When we went to NXT Brooklyn 2, when he won the title off Joe, what percentage of people in attendance of that show were wearing Nakamura shirts?
What number is greater than 100?
30 to 40%.
Oh, a lot of them, yeah.
A lot. There's a lot of people wearing...
A lot of red out there.
The strong style shirts.
Yeah.
And after the show, we were walking through the concourse. Everybody was singing his theme song.
Everybody was, yeah.
And from there, it only went upwards in terms of his popularity in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
So when he showed up on Main, the SmackDown after Mania, he came out to confront kind of The Miz, interrupt The Miz.
Yeah.
Which would have been a perfect
first
feud. Perfect first feud,
especially
Miz coming off the whole thing with Daniel Bryan, where Daniel Bryan essentially called him soft.
Yeah. That
would have been perfect.
Yeah.
And then they never crossed paths again.
Yep. Miz headed to Raw.
Yep. But it was months after that.
Oh, was it?
It was a long time after that.
Oh, wow.
Because he came up on the Raw after Mania. Or was it a couple weeks out? Oh, it's a couple weeks later. They did this Superstar
Shake-Up. They did the shakeups pretty soon after.
Well, then don't tease us with what could have been a really good feud.
And then we had a bunch of Dolph Dark matches.
Yeah.
We had a prolonged
There was a month and a half before he actually had his in-ring debut. But he was wrestling after every show in the dark match.
And we thought, as of a couple months ago, we thought it was a given that he was going to take the title off of Jinder.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. Nope. At that point, it was like, oh, what kind of territory are we in now? Where Jinder has all the stroke in the world. And Shinsuke Nakamura, oh, man. And not even get, Bobby Roode didn't even make this list. But it kind of is this scary...
Well, it's too soon to tell right now for Bobby.
You're right. Hey, he's in a U.S. title picture right now.
And his promo work on this past episode of SmackDown was his sharpest yet.
He's been, yeah. I mean, this isn't a list of bungled call-ups, which we kind of think Bobby has been, but the jury's still kind of out. But with Shinsuke, yeah, dude, he was a lumberjack.
He was a lumberjack.
On a show where Randy Orton got to stay home.
Yeah.
He was a lumberjack.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, look, this could totally all be solved.
Oh, it just takes one thing. It takes a feud with AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. That's all it takes to turn everything around.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. But I'm not optimistic that's going to happen at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to be optimistic with SmackDown stuff right now.
I know.
You know?
It's an interesting turnaround from just a few months back.
I know. I mean, hey, at least we know AJ Styles is the champion.
Yeah.
He just put on one of the, best matches in the WWE with Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. One of the best Brock Lesnar matches I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So, Shinsuke Nakamura, he's going to be in that tag match at Clash of Champions coming up.
He's money. He should be making massive amounts of money for WWE.
He could win the Rumble.
Yeah.
He could win the Rumble. It's probably going to be Roman, but he could. I mean, they could get Roman to WrestleMania without the Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if they've learned their lesson from before with the Rumble with him.
Yeah, no either.
You know, what, didn't Orton win it last year?
Yeah, SmackDown guy won it last year.
What is going on with that? What is going on with
that? He might win again just so they can do AJ Orton at Mania.
Stop it. I hope you're just saying that so that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We should push really hard for that on the show. We should. Yeah.
Because every time you push for something really hard, it doesn't happen. It
doesn't happen.
But this will be the time it does.
They say what?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. You had to look at your shirt.
No, I had to pause for a second.
Number one.
One.
Rusev. Now, I mean, honestly, Rusev probably shouldn't be a number one. Shinsuke probably should be a number
one.
Yeah,
probably. But
I love Rusev so much. There is so much, I think, that could be done with Rusev. The crowd is really kind of loving Rusev these days.
Yeah, they've fully embraced Rusev Day.
And kind of like goofy Rusev. Like, he's with Aiden English. Their chemistry is oddly hilarious.
Yeah.
He seems genuinely in character. He seems genuinely tickled by Aiden English.
Yes.
Who seems genuinely enthused to be singing about Rusev Day.
Yeah.
And it's all great. Rusev deserves the best. Remember when he came out on a tank at WrestleMania
31 to take on John Cena? Awesome. Amazing. He is the only person who came out unscathed from his feud against Dolph and Lana.
Not only unscathed, I think I like
his stock rose.
Yeah, it did. Because he was like, oh my God, he can do comedy so well.
Yeah.
He could do comedy so great.
And yet they have yet to take advantage of his immense talents.
Yeah.
To put a world title on him.
Yeah.
He's had two good reigns as U.S. champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he really elevated the stock of the U.S. title before Roman took it off him last year.
Yeah.
But it just feels like, I don't know, it just feels like they use him to put other people over.
They
when
did,
he needs a chance to go over himself.
Did they this during the show, or it was like in a video after the show that they announced that? Yeah, the Aiden English and Rusev.
Oh, it's during the show they announced.
During the show, okay, yeah. They announced. Okay,
that was gonna be a four-way for the tag titles.
You know, maybe they're there to eat the pin. They seem kind of the likely ones to eat the pin because I'm not sure they want to do a Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
Yeah,
but maybe Aiden English.
Yeah,
maybe Rusev.
And that's the problem back. Is like Rusev's at a program now that's entertaining. It has potential, but we just kind of feel
it's
like
it's not substantial at all. Yeah, like his profile should be a lot higher.
Yeah,
it's crazy the talent they have on that show, man. And they're not able to like properly weave the stories together. It's absolutely bizarre because we've seen it happen and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
So Rusev. I think I want to buy a happy Rusev
Day shirt.
You
should. I encourage you to do that.
I think it'd be great because it would show my support for the guy that I think is the most underutilized wrestler in WWE. Rusev Machka.
Rusev Machka.
Machka. Anyways, that's it for us. Let us know who you think is underutilized in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.